Welcome
to Family Home Evening
with Bette Mormons.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Charlotte.
And we're two sisters who like to get drunk
and tell you about stupid shit we do and bitch about politics. And that's why you're here.
We were like, what's that thing you're never supposed to talk to people about? Politics and religion?
Oh my God, can we do that all day, every day? Fabulous. Turns out, it's been a really good week.
It sure has. It's a hot August night.
I love that album.
We're feeling all right.
And we got some wine. Cheers.
I got a bug bite on the back.
I'm not playing this game with you anymore. Bye.
Cheers.
Cheers.
It's totally not tight.
Anywho.
You know what I do have is a lot of love in my heart.
Yeah?
For our patrons.
Oh, I love the patrons.
Hi, patrons. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being you.
You guys don't even know how much. Like, we say it every week, but you don't even know how much we really mean it. Right? I have a piece of paper under my pillow that says patrons with a heart around it. Okay, I don't, but tonight I'm going
to. You know what? It needs to happen.
So, do you have anything to repent for?
I'm sure I do, but I don't remember because I black out a lot.
You know what just popped into my head today? Do you remember that time? It was over a year ago, but we went out to, I was going to Din Tai Fung in South Coast Plaza with some of my coworkers.
Yes.
And we ended up at the Claim Jumper next door for martinis afterwards.
Great idea. I like where this story's going.
And we were on Facebook, and I had just been accepted to this group called Punch a Nazi in the Face.
I remember that. I got kicked out of it swiftly.
And I was, it was basically all about, oh my God, don't tell me I forgot the guy's name. That
fucking
Richard
douche that was
Spencer.
In yeah, that's
Richard
the
Spencer, super racist, you know, inciting the whole movement, blah, 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 whatever. And so Charlotte and I were kind of, we were excited at the prospect of punching Nazis in the face, but then at the same time, like, people were really, like,
getting punched in the
doing
face.
It. And yeah. We were like, well, maybe punching people in the face, you know, maybe.
But when is violence ever actually the answer? It's fun to talk about it.
Yeah, maybe that's wrong. Maybe we should just, you know, try to educate them. And, you know, now after, I don't know how long it's been, 2 years afterwards, I think I'm starting to realize why punching Nazis in the face is a good idea, because it turns out you can't talk to them. There's no reasoning with them.
Because they're fucking Nazis.
All they want to do is shoot you.
Right.
So sometimes you can't play nice.
Yeah, I got kicked out because I was trying to be like, listen, sometimes you just need to not have violence and talk to people. And then I think the admin talked to you and said, I had to kick your sister out. Because
yes. I remember him saying, like, are you sure this is the right group for you? And I was like, I think so. Maybe not. But I really didn't get it then. Like, I was still taking the high road back then, and like, we can all get together without violence. And now I realize that that's impossible, and sometimes we need violence, and that's unfortunate, but...
But you see that Nazi on that show, that girl who got, like, she was dating a dude, finds out he's a Nazi, and then she became a Nazi, but then realized, no, they're actually fucking horrible people, and got out of it. So it's just like, I don't know.
It's that Netflix show,
The web of something or other, like
dark
web of
web
lies,
of
yeah,
lies and,
like
and
that.
The internet.
But I mean, essentially, it's like, so if she got punched in the face, it would have just pushed their narrative more that these people need to get shot, or what, you know what I mean? Like,
I do, but I'm not gonna let you derail me from the fact that I do think that violence is the option for these KKK motherfuckers, because there's no, yes, is it gonna propel their narrative? Yes. Does it fucking matter? No.
But
because
again,
they're
going to
propel their own narrative.
But would she have changed her mind later and then became not a Nazi if she got punched in the face, is my point, right? Like, she would have, it would have been, I don't know if her eyes would have opened if she had more, I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Okay.
But I think you're wrong.
Okay.
I think we need to punch Nazis in the face.
No, I mean,
and that was my repentance, was that I repent for second guessing whether or not we should punch Nazis in the face. The answer is yes, we absolutely should.
I mean,
look back to Indiana Jones.
Thank you. I was going to say, it's like, who were you rooting for in Indiana Jones? Nobody was fucking rooting for those fucking Nazis.
And you know who got punched in the face?
Nazis!
Exactly. So, I apologize. I repent. I had a, you know, you have to come to this thing slowly. Not all of us are blessed with the intellect and street smarts that some of the early proponents of punching a Nazi in the face were. So I'm sorry, I'm here
Listen,
with you now. I caught up.
I'm still not, I don't know. We don't have to agree on everything.
Well, that's my repentance.
Okay.
Great. I'm with punching Nazis in the face.
I agree that there are some people that will not be saved, and those motherfuckers need to get punched in the face. If you're going in there to start violence, you get fucking punched in the face.
I think those are the Nazis we're talking about.
I would hope so. I'm just saying not all people who sympathize with fucking Nazis.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Nazis and violence inciting Nazis. Like Richard Spencer, need to get punched in the fucking face. Well, so let's go to Mormon Corner.
Okay. What do you got? What do you got for me?
I don't know if this really counts, but I'm going to say it anyway. I just remembered, I've been going through this list of things in my mind that keep popping up that, like, I haven't seen for a long time, and I move around a lot. So I'm like, fuck, where did I last see that? I can't even remember the last time I saw that thing. And the thing that popped in my head today was I used to have this hot pink t-shirt, which of course I cut up, you know, and had big scoop neck and everything. And it just said the words S-L-U-T across it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was the tiniest little comma between L and U. So it was supposed to, so it just looked like slut to anybody looking at it. It was Salt Lake, Utah. And that was like a big funny thing when I was a kid. And I just remember
funny
getting so many like looks and stares. And I remember being at Smith's in Logan one time when this lady came up to me and she's like, you don't look like the kind of girl that should be wearing a shirt like that. I was like, I love Salt Lake, you know, and it was just a lot of that kind of fun. So for Mormon Corner, I want to give an RIP to my slut shirt.
Can we make that on our TeePublic page?
Sure.
I mean, I
yeah,
think
why not? We can bring it back. Everything from the 90s is coming back.
Right?
So yeah, look for that. Look for that repurposed, reinvented, newish design on our official TV page.
You're welcome. This is what we do for you. We brainstorm. We make shit happen.
I also saw a funny thing that was a Facebook or an Instagram ad, and it was like a very official looking logo on an enamel pin, and it was like a little triangle with some trees and a laser and an alien looking thing, but it looked like it was like an emblem for a military or something.
Right.
But it said Jewish Space Laser Station circa 2020 whatever.
Right.
And I was like, that's fucking funny. But, you know, it's like, I can't trust the Instagram ads.
Right.
But it was this little thing that said, it was called Descent Pins. So if anybody wants to look that up for me, because I didn't do it. They were like, half of the profits of anything we sell is going to go to fund candidates who are against QAnon bullshit.
Which and sounds like, fucking cool. Amazing. I would spend $50 on a shitty pen just knowing that.
Yes. We just need to figure out if they're legit or if it's like some rando from China.
Right. Because there are a lot of fucking dishonest people out there who will claim that they're giving shit to charity when they just keep their own money. Yeah. Speaking of...
So anyway, Descent Pins.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So speaking of people who just take your money... No, I guess we're not there yet.
What are you excited to talk about?
I fucking hate Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't worry, girl. We'll get there.
No, I thought it was a good segue, but we're not to that point yet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
I do have one other thing that I wanted to say for Mormon Corner. I don't know if we have pitched this. I'm sure we have. In fact, now that I'm saying it out loud, the whole imagery from our the one before episode was from this movie.
Okay.
But if you haven't seen SLC Punk... It's such a good one, and it's, I feel like, a very accurate representation of growing up in the Salt Lake area in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, movies in the 90s ruled.
It was, it's pretty accurate, so stop listening to this podcast. Just go queue up SLC
Just make
Punk.
A, you know, don't listen to her. Make a note, and after this is over, don't worry, we'll be quick. You can go watch it. It is great. It makes me cry, though. I don't like movies that make me cry, and I'm not going to give any spoilers. But
yeah, so that's Mormon Corner
this week. It's a really good movie. There's just one part that's going to make you cry, or make me cry when I watch it again. Shut up. Okay, go on. Cool shit.
The whole thing makes me cry for my lost childhood.
Fair.
Fair enough.
So yeah, that's Mormon Corner. Watch SLC Punk, and then you'll know what it was like.
A whole movie just flashed through my brain, and I can't even talk about how much I'm not going to talk about the ending.
It's okay, so good, right?
So.
Okay, now let's move on. Now we're ready.
Cool shit.
Cool shit.
I have no cool shit, I don't think. No.
Everything sucks.
Everything's
bullshit.
Listen. Actually, you know what? Fuck yeah. Cool shit. Mandy and I may have mentioned this on one or two episodes back, but I won tickets to go see the Beach Boys
at the Greek Theater.
And our father will be flying in this weekend to go take him to the Beach Boys, which is his favorite band ever. And then we're going to go see a play at the Mission, and then we're going to go see some Beatles stuff. Anyways, it's going to be a really great week.
We lied to him. We told him that we won 4 tickets so that he would come because he doesn't like us to spend money on things.
Right.
All money has to be saved.
Sooner or later, he's going to realize that experiences matter more than things or savings accounts, right?
Did Charlotte just say that?
Mandy. To a degree. well, you don't have to spend all the money that you have on shit, but, you know.
He's going to figure out this Beach Boys thing was a lie when I'm sitting in a different seat than you guys are sitting in.
So, actually, I have a plan for this.
Oh, okay.
So, if 4 of us were going, because Craig was going to go, but our cat had a mishap, so he'll be staying with her. But if there was 4 of us, it would be harder. But since there's 3 of us, if we never sit down, we can all 3 stand together. And maybe Dad can sit down every now and again because he's old. But like,
he's in better shape than we are.
It's actually so fucking true, right? So yeah.
I'm just a few seats.
He might figure it out. But we could literally still stand together so long as we never sit down. And honestly, it's the Beach Boys with only 2 Beach Boys.
And John Stamos.
John Stamos. There's a chance that maybe our neighbors might not show up. So I'm just saying, I'm holding out hope. But anyways, that's some fucking cool shit. I think will be a lot of fun. We go to this breakfast with the Beatles once a month. And I won tickets to the Beach Boys, and they're 1 week apart. So I was like, we should have Dad come. His first favorite band of all time is the Beach Boys. Second favorite band is the Beatles. And then he really likes Johnny Cash and, like, Elvis Presley. So there's the Million Dollar Quartet playing at our Mission that we're going to take him. So it's, and then Mandy, I'm not going to it because, you know, Alkaline Trio's not my favorite.
You can't just... Shut the fuck up, Charlie. You can't just... I actually had that under cool shit. You can't just be like, oh, Alkaline Trio sucks. Oh, did you want to talk about something?
No, I was trying to think of my hashtag. Oh, I don't even like this band.
Alkaline Trio bullshit?
I own Alkaline Trio posters, sweaters, hats, shirts. Clearly, I like Alkaline Trio.
Oh, I have something cool to talk about, Charlotte.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I have something. I don't know if you know this, but Coheed and Cambria is playing a show with Alkaline Trio.
Oh, my God. I wish I could. Go.
In San Diego.
I can't.
And I'm going, and I'm taking my dad to an Alkaline Trio show. His first Alkaline Trio show. Remember when I took you to your first Alkaline Trio show?
Yes, I like the Alkaline
Trio. How much fun
trio.
Did you have?
I met some random chicks in an alleyway. It was rad.
I know.
They became our bestest friends.
That's why you go to an Alkaline Trio show.
I just also really like that we're making this a full music fest week for our father, right? Like,
listen, we can't help it that every band is playing in the same week.
It's not like one's a play, one's a radio show, one's an action, 2 are concerts.
Hey, listeners, I'm also going to need you to reach out because I've been trying to explain to Charlotte all week that she would love Coheed and Cambria, and she's not having it.
I listened to one song, and I didn't care for it.
You listened to 10 seconds of the one song in the middle of the album. She won't even let me explain to her what the concept is. So she's going to have to listen to me, because I'm going to explain it to you guys.
Oh, great.
Coheed and Cambria is a band that has created this science fiction story called The Armory Wars, and every album that they have is basically this story in chronological order, and they've made comic books about it, they've made a graphic novel about it. It's very like Proto Men, and you know, there's another band that does that too, where it's like everything is like a story or a kind of like a, it's not really a rock opera, but it's that style of thing that you fucking love.
What Proto Men did was take something I already love and made music about it.
Like
they're creating something that I may love later,
like science fiction. Like a science fiction star battle?
Not all science fiction is good.
What about battles between good and evil in space? Do you like that stuff? All I'm saying, Charlotte, is maybe you should just give more than 10 seconds of one song in the middle of the latest album a try, because I really think you're going to like it.
Fine.
Anyways, Coheed and Cambria, they're headlining the tour. They have a new album out that just came out in July called Vaxxis Act 2, A Window of the Waking Mind, and I've been listening to it on repeat for the last 4 days. Well, since I got the tickets, really. And it's fucking great. It's like my favorite one of all the albums I've heard so far. So I'm very excited to go to that show.
Oh, how cool.
And I got really good seats. I got like 11 rows.
I'm pretty sure our father is going to love it.
I don't know.
He might. Who knows? He might.
I sent him the album and I said, hey, listen to this and see if you want to go with me. And he said, sure. So
we'll see. Was he supposed to say no?
I don't know. What would you have said?
I'd say sure. If I didn't have to work that
day. Or you'd say, fuck no. I don't want to.
You said it's Saturday? Is it assigned seating?
Yes.
Then never mind, I won't be going.
You're not invited anyway.
Oh my god, how rude.
If you'll listen to one song off of the album, then you can go.
Listen, I'm pretty sure they're sold out. They're so popular.
Let's move on.
This motherfucker.
Are you ready, Charlotte? It's time for This Motherfucker. Take it away.
The jury awards $45.2 million in punitive damages in the Alex Jones Sandy Hook trial. How did this happen, you may ask? Well, lots. He's a piece of fucking shit. But more importantly, his lawyers accidentally texted the Sandy Hook lawyers his private text messages,
his entire emails, cell phone.
His, yeah, like, it was a bank statements. I don't fucking know. Like, everything. It was amazing. The rarity, because unfortunately, when you have a lot of money, you can hide that money pretty well because you pay enough people to hide it really well because you have the money to be able to do it. Well, not when your lawyers fuck you over. And I don't think they did it on purpose. I think it 100% was a mistake. But thank God for that.
Yeah, just in case you're not up to speed. So Alex Jones, back when Sandy Hook is a gunman went into an elementary school, murdered a bunch of kids, right? And then Alex Jones proceeded to say it was a hoax. And not only that, but he went and was like, his listeners were giving the parents death threats, calling them actors, trying to discredit them. We talked about this once before. This one guy traveled to their home 30 times from like across the country to harass them.
Right.
And so the damages that Alex Jones was supposed to pay, a couple days ago, the judge ordered him to pay $4.1 million in compensatory damages, which is for the pain and suffering and the torment and the trauma that he put the parents through.
Right.
This $45.2 million
right.
is punitive, which is basically just a big fuck you to yes. Alex Jones. That's like, this, you've done so wrong that you have to pay this money to make up for all the bad shit you did. It's punitive.
And he's trying to say he doesn't have it and won't be able to pay it because he's also been money laundering and hiding his money. Something, what was it, $11,000 a day?
A day into a shell company, which they have a record of because they have his phone.
Right. Which is rad.
It's so good.
Because, I mean, honestly, the bad people keep winning a lot. And it just seems like, how is this keep happening? Like, why are there not laws? Because there's not laws in place. Because, unfortunately, the people with all the fucking money make the fucking laws.
Yeah.
So they don't go after this shit. So he has nowhere to go because he has nowhere to hide. But other people do this shit every fucking day. And they get away with it because they have the money to hide it. And I just think this is fucking fabulous.
Yeah. And let's just remember, too, that, so just in case you need a recap, the format or the program that Alex Jones runs is called InfoWars.
Yes.
And it's a podcast, video podcast sort of situation that has an ungodly number of followers considering the content is pure shit.
It's just him. He's an angry white man who's just literally sometimes he's just screaming over nothing. Like, honestly, he is an actor.
Conspiracy
and that's
theories.
Really what he is. But no, like, I mean, somebody can tell a lie enough times, they're going to start believing it themselves, right? That's 100% fact and proven. That, again, you tell a lie enough times, you start believing the lie that you even made up, and other people will believe it too. But, like, he just, if you watch his videos of him, he just screams because he can't, like, he's just, it doesn't matter what it is. Electrolytes, you know, it doesn't fucking matter. He's just screaming, and then there's other angry white men who are watching it like, I feel your fucking pain. And so it doesn't even matter what he fucking says. And then he sells everything, whether it's pills for ED, whether it's fucking I don't know, a blowtorch. I have no idea. The man, but it's mainly supplements. So it's a lot of like, oh, do you have heart disease? Take this supplement. Oh, are you afraid of COVID? Take this supplement. Is your dick not working? Supplements. Or I have like colloidal silver toothpaste. Bullshit like that. Uh-huh. And then people like our mother go on and buy it. Me and Mandy were in Idaho and we were visiting and looking through one of her fucking drawers for like a knife. It was in the kitchen. And Mandy pulls out InfoWars toothpaste. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Because I bet you anything, it was about a $30 to $40 tube of toothpaste. My mom doesn't have any, our mother doesn't fucking have any money. Like, she doesn't buy propane to heat her house. She uses a wood burning stove. Like, she refuses to get a job, which is her own fucking thing. But at the end of the day, she's got no money, but can spend money at Alex Jones's fucking website. And I started following Alex Jones's ex-wife on Twitter, and I'll give me a minute and I'll pull up her name. But she says, because he's trying to say he has no money to pay these damages, right? It's like, oh, I only have like $1 million in savings or whatever. And it's like, no, he made upwards of $800,000 a day. Mm-hmm. And that's people like our mother who doesn't have any money, but she's supporting whatever bullshit he's spouting. And so it's just like, how many fucking poor people are giving him money they don't even have? And he doesn't give a shit. He's like, thanks for the fucking money.
Well, now you've got Roger Stone on his channel out there raising money. Give money to poor Alex Jones. He's got to pay this, you know, sham trial, blah, right? Blah, blah.
Like, oh, it's just a witch hunt. Like, how many times can you say witch hunt when there's so much fucking evidence against you? It's exactly. So crazy.
It's very trendy to say witch hunt.
Right?
I also think this is a really good time to remind people about the Alex Jones indie folk song, which I just posted to our Facebook page. I'm sick of these
people. Hillary and Obama smell like sulfur. They just stink. I love that song so much.
I just reposted it just for everyone to get just a smile and a
was it? He feeling. Sucks, but yeah, somebody took his exact words that he says and then made it into an indie folk song. And it's so good.
I want to mention, too, Alex... I had to actually tell this to my coworker today. He didn't know it, but Alex Jones has said more than once that no reasonable person would mm-hmm. believe what he says is true, and it's just for entertainment. Right. And he's gotten off. He's gotten away with
courts
this.
Courts have sided with him, saying no reasonable person would believe the shit that he says.
Multiple times.
Not just him. Tucker Carlson as well.
Yep.
Motherfuckers.
So I'm glad to see that they're getting a little comeuppance.
Right.
In the form of monetary compensation. And, you know, just because the jury awarded essentially $50 million, he's not going to have to pay that much. Like, more than likely, he'll probably have to pay, like, $200,000 or
$300,000. Right. But still, like, how much money does he fucking have?
Well, and how much money is hidden and, right. You know, it's like all of that stuff you got to take into consideration.
For those who would like to follow Alex Jones's ex-wife, I highly recommend it. Her name is Kelly Jones, and it's at Real Kelly Jones on Twitter. And she fucking hates him as much as the rest of us. And she's the one who's saying, no, he makes all this money. He spends millions of dollars a year to keep his children away from me. Like, he's a real fucking piece of shit.
That's right. I did read that one.
Right? He's a real fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, let's all go follow at Real Kelly Jones on Twitter.
I also have something to bitch about. Like, well, I have something to celebrate, so it should be under cool shit, and I kind of forgot about it. But I try to do a little bit of research on it, and I don't fully understand it. But Kansas, the GOP really tried to sneak in a totally anti-abortion bill, and they phrased it in a way that would make you feel like if you were voting yes, you would actually be voting no, right? Like, so it's like, oh, I want to support your right to choose. Vote yes, but you'd actually be voting to take away the rights of people to get an abortion.
Got it.
Well, women came out in droves and voted fuck no, bitch, and it didn't pass. From both parties, Republicans and Democrats alike. It's like, don't fuck with women's rights. Go fuck yourself. Indiana, unfortunately, fucking passed a total ban. They're the first state to do it. I've watched some video of, Representative Davison from Indiana, and he argues pretty much that, what was it? There was somebody who was asking, like, let me be clear about this. I want to know exactly, what do you feel in this bill? Like, if I am pregnant, let's say I'm 17 weeks pregnant, this child is not viable. It will not live. It will probably die midterm, and it might actually kill me in the process. Well, then you keep it until you, so it's like, okay, so who pays? He's like, you have to keep it until you give birth to it and it's dead. Okay, so who's going to pay for that funeral then?
And the health care.
No, just even the funeral. I think she was trying to make a point, right? Okay. Who's going to pay for the funeral of this now developed but dead child? Well, you will. Oh, okay. So how, let's say again, I'm pregnant. How am I going to explain to my children that the baby that's growing inside of me will be dead when it comes out and I might not actually make it? Well, there's no guarantees in life. Pretty much, there's no life without death, so pretty much. And again, this is a man who doesn't ever have to fear about getting fucking pregnant and dying from it. What a fucking piece of shit.
And he talked about God a lot.
He's like, I would just hope that you would turn to our Lord and Savior, the almighty Jesus. Like, divine the words he creator. Said was so, yeah, the divine creator. The words he said were just so fucking disgusting that I just fucking hate. And then it fucking passed. And like, what a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Like, when you talk about the separation of church and state, it's non-existent. Like, how they're trying. There's this like narrative out there that Marjorie Taylor Greene even said this. Like, most people are Christian nationalists. Most 90-something% of people in this country, which is obviously bullshit.
Right.
But it's like, you have to imagine like that the small fraction of people that are this Christian nationalist or whatever are making rules for everyone based on something that nobody believes in but right. them. And I don't understand how that's possible or legal or right.
Well, happening. The whole point of the separation of church and state and the freedom of religion is also the freedom from religion. I don't have to believe your bullshit religion if it does. Jewish people, 100% part of their religion, they can't have abortion. If it doesn't work with their family, they have the right as a Jewish person to have an abortion.
Could you imagine if I was like the Church of
Satan? Mandy?
No, the Church of Satan, just to be something that's like really controversial. Yeah. And my church says, oh yeah, you know, we celebrate death and you have to carry that dead baby inside of your body. And if it kills you,
oh my God, that's what a great way, point. Yeah.
That's the way it should be because we celebrate death in my religion. Sorry, but you're going to have to do that.
Like, maybe you need to email some fucking representatives to fucking take that stance because a bunch of people because sometimes I don't think people realize how insane they sound until you rephrase it. And I think if somebody rephrased it like that, maybe they might see how fucked up they sound. I mean, I doubt it because they actually don't even care about what they're saying. They're just trying to prove a point. But I also want to point out, also from the state of Indiana, Representative John Jacobs, who's also a Republican, there's a video of him saying the women's body doesn't have any say about the body that's inside of her body. Let me repeat, the woman's body, you know, the body inside the woman's body, she doesn't have a choice. That's not pro-choice. We are stopping a murder from happening. And he goes and says this, and apparently people fucking agree with him because they fucking passed it. Fucking, I don't know what's going on with Indiana, but you're all fucked up.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. There's a highly, I don't know how to phrase this properly, but the gerrymandering in that state is offensive to the point of, like, I don't think the majority of people feel that way, but that the way that the votes are cast because of the gerrymandering,
right,
like, it's gonna go that way until something's done about that
right.
redistricting, constant 24-hour-a-day redistricting right. based on who lives where. You know what I mean?
Right, that's crazy.
Obviously, I'm exaggerating, but...
But, I mean, but it's to the point, people don't... Most people, if you said, what's gerrymandering, would have no idea how to... What that is. Like, I don't know what that is. Like, seriously, every time I hear it, I think of Tom and Jerry. Like, every time.
I was trying to explain this to your flat earther friend. She's like, well, you know, everyone is voting, and this stuff keeps passing because, you know, enough people vote for it. And I'm like, no, that's not true.
It works, yeah.
It keeps passing because the people in charge of making the rules keep redrawing the district lines so that the votes of certain people don't count in certain districts, depending on where they live, and that changes a lot.
Right.
It changes weekly. It changes monthly. Like, they're doing it all the fucking time.
Right. No, I vaguely understand how gerrymandering works. But, again, if you ask anybody on the street, most people won't even know what it is.
Yeah, and they'd be surprised.
Right. They're like, wait, that's a thing? Yeah, fucking anyway. Sucks. So, one last thing for the GOP that I've been laughing a lot lately about is that on Twitter, the GOP keeps, like, oh, failed Biden administration. Oh, Biden's the worst. Oh, we got to get out the Democrats because, you know, they're ruining our country, even though everything that's happening right now is due to global pandemic, inflation because of a global pandemic, and Trump was our president for the last 4 years. So you can pretty much go fuck yourself on a lot of these things. But the GOP put hashtag Bidenflation wiped out wage growth, meaning workers' paychecks are shrinking. Americans are getting poorer under Joe Biden. And pretty much everybody just laughed at it. Well, okay, the thing about Twitter is you're going to see all the people you either follow or it's going to push your narrative, right? So I'm not seeing all the people going, yeah, fuck the Democrats. I'm just seeing all the people who said, you're stupid, pretty much. And it's like, so there's one that just has the Republicans, but they're not even calling them Republicans anymore. They're just calling them fascists and said, first, you created this mess. Then you whine and campaign that everything's a mess. Then they blame other people for the mess that they created. Then they do everything possible to prevent others from fixing the mess. Then they propose the same politics that created the mess in the first place, right?
And it goes in a cycle.
Very accurate. And then, like, and I really feel like, because I'm guilty of this, too. I'm like, yeah, really, what has Biden done? Like, has he really done that much? Because you don't really hear about it. Because it's not just Fox News tearing him down. CNN and MSNBC aren't really reporting on the shit that he's done that's great either. And partially because that's because of fucking ratings. And I really believe that probably Robert Murdoch owns them as well, right? So it's just another spin to really push the narrative to get it's ridiculous.
I don't like CNN.
I don't like CNN either. They were MSNBC was very opinionated. Neutral. No. Oh. MSNBC was opinionated. Oh. It was democratically opinionated. They were the opposite of Fox. Fox was the first to do it. MSNBC was the first to kind of jump on it, but for the other side. And CNN was neutral. CNN's not been neutral for a long time. And actually, I know you don't like Bill Maher, but he just had, what is his name? His brother, Cuomo. So it wasn't the Governor Cuomo from New York, but Chris Cuomo was on it.
Oh, the anchor.
And he was an anchor on CNN, and he just said, yeah, they made a decision. You know, not everybody agreed with it, but he pretty much said, yeah, they decided to put their, not politics, but their opinions into it, right? But I feel it's worth noting that fucking Joe Biden is fucking killing it, and somebody needs to say it. And there was 528,000 jobs in July that were added. Unemployment is at a 3.5, a 50-year low. He killed a fucking terrorist leader from Al-Qaeda. Well done. I can't say the guy's name, but it was a wish.
Don't try.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try. I don't know what the CHIPS Act is, but he passed it.
Oh, that was a police reform.
I would assume this California Highway Patrol is CHIPS, but I don't think it would just be for
maybe
California.
Maybe we should find out what it is.
The PACT Act passed. Inflation Reduction Act passed. Gas hits a 50-day low. And again, for those who are like, oh, Biden has shut down oil refineries in the United States, and that's why our gases are high. Gases are high around the entire world, not just the country, the world. Inflation is up around the world. Our president doesn't dictate prices and inflation around the entire fucking world. There has been a fucking pandemic. You people are, not you people, of course, our people are awesome. But the people who are being bitches about it are stupid.
People aren't smart.
And the median U.S. price is below $4 a gallon. And, of course, Kansas protects abortion. So, he's actually doing a really good job, but nobody's fucking talking about it. And I get it. He's fucking old, and he probably shouldn't run again. But he's fucking killing it. So, cheers, Joe Biden. Well done.
Cheers. Cheers. I forgot to mention, I had this idea about coming into this episode. Like, I don't know if people realize, we record this podcast from the heart of Trump country. We live in Orange County, California,
right,
which is actually in the past few years become more purple, right. But it's historically...
We've looked at blue technically, but yeah, it's purple.
It's been historically red for a long time. Right. Like, I think we've mentioned, you know, during the height of the, you know, the last election, there was, like, the entire harbor was, like, or half of the harbor, everyone with their boats, out there was flying Trump flags and,
right.
you know, Trump flags on the big trucks. Like, we are seated in the middle of that.
Right.
And so...
It's a bunch of old white men who want to keep their money. I get
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And it's not cheap to live here. It's not fucking cheap.
Really not.
So, but what I wanted to mention was, so I, if you didn't know that, that's kind of the... One of the reasons why we get so heated about some of this shit. But the town right next to us, called San Clemente, they're having a town council meeting tomorrow. So we're recording this on Friday. Their town council meeting is on Saturday, tomorrow at 11 a.m.
I have to work.
I know, I do too. But what's been happening is, so this, we'll already have a result of whatever happened, if anything, by the time you guys hear this. But what's happening tomorrow is San Clemente, which is the last town south in Orange County before you get into San Diego County, they've decided that they're gonna, you know, their daddy didn't love them enough or whatever, and they're gonna get some attention in the news by declaring their city a sanctuary for life and banning abortions, which basically means they're gonna try to prevent a Planned Parenthood from opening there. But of course, they're taking the steps to make this grandiose argument that they're now a sanctuary for life and abortions will be banned, which is in stark contrast to the law in the state right. of California.
They're going against Governor Newsom.
Exactly. So
I also would just really quick like to point out, there is no plan for Planned Parenthood to be in San Clemente. Like, we have one for the South Orange County. It's fine, but like, they're doing this for attention.
Exactly, exactly. So this thing has been on the books. We were out having lunch with some friends and, you know, talking about going to the protest and, you know, just being a visible presence there. But since we're not San Clemente residents, we live one town over.
Right.
Like, it's really meant for those people who live in that town to be vocal and have a voice about it. But it turns out the last thing that I just looked up right before we started recording this was that the San Clemente mayor, he's calling the city council members in for a special meeting to discuss killing it. Because apparently they're getting so much backlash. Oh, sorry, that's what the meeting is. Tomorrow the meeting is about killing the ban.
Okay.
The regular meeting this where they're
usually
supposed
a Tuesday
to
or Thursday,
vote
right?
for it is a Tuesday night.
Right.
So there's a secret meeting, or not a secret, but a special meeting right. tomorrow where he's saying, basically what he's saying is the sanctuary for life thing, if it's approved, it will block zoning or permitting any facility that would provide an abortion in the city. And their statement for this was... I'll just read it for you. It's cringy. We believe that life is God-ordained, and God is the author and finisher of every life, no matter if that's at the beginning or the end. That's their official statement.
Jesus. What the fuck?
As city council, we will protect and sustain life at every stage. We ask God to bless America.
Mm-mm, no.
But first, we have to honor and respect God. How many times did you say God in that statement?
I wonder what God they're talking about.
Yeah, so tomorrow morning at 11 is this meeting where the mayor's going to be like, hey, this is a bad fucking idea, and trying to get him to kill it.
I wonder if their mayor is on the city council, because that's how our city council is there's 5 city council members, and one of them is mayor.
Maybe, I'm not sure. The only other thing it says in here is that he says, although I'm pro-life, I have serious reservations about this particular resolution. One thing I don't want to do is create a resolution that's going to be divisive or appear to be hateful.
Well, you're too late, buddy.
Yeah, they already put out the fucking statement.
I do want to point this out. I can't remember. I think because San Juan was declaring themselves a sanctuary city for immigrants, you know, like as many California cities were doing because of ICE.
Because we're so close to the Mexican border.
And it was it was during that time when Trump was full force being a piece of shit. And I forget exactly what it was, because again, San Juan Capistrano is pretty fucking...
Latino.
It was really Latino, but it's also very Republican.
Oh, I
see. And there's a lot of fucking Trump supporters. So a lot of us showed up.
You're like, either rich and white, or you're poor and Mexican. Or poor and us.
Know, or there's people like us. I have quite a few friends in town who... are fairly liberal. They, I mean, all you actually have to be is fucking empathetic, I'm just not a fucking monster. Exactly. Sorry for all you people who, like, get the fuck out of my town. Like, you're just a fucking piece of shit.
Like, with the Trump kids. Get the fuck out of my town, but, oh, God, who's gonna... Who's gonna
mow my lawn?
Yeah, who's gonna pick my dishes? Fucking
strawberries?
How is my wine gonna get made from my winery?
I'd like to go out to eat. Who's gonna cook my fucking meals for me?
What a shit show.
Right. So, anyways, during one of those times, there was a bunch of people with big fucking Trump flags. It was the first time in actually American history a politician had mentioned QAnon. We could thank fucking Pam Patterson for that shit. Piece of shit. She's the fucking worst. She got voted out real quick. But all these people with these Trump flags who were like being a disruptive of our city council our meeting, because there was a lot of us residents there to talk about, like, dude, this isn't right, blah blah blah, or we want this to happen. Again, I can't actually remember why we were there, but those people were from Arizona. Those people didn't even live in the state of California. They were going around to all of the different city councils, and they were just showing up with their flags and being disruptive and shitty. So I have zero problem going one town over from the town I fucking live in to go disrupt somebody else's fucking city council. Y'all shitty. Like,
fuck that shit.
But I would 100% do it just to disrupt their shit. And I want to point this out, too. San Clemente is a young town. I mean, there's old people who live there, but you've got the bars there. That's where the young people live. It's a beach town that's actually pretty rad.
You would expect that more from our town.
Exactly. Yeah. So for San Clemente to do that, I'm like, I can't tell you how many people I know who live in San Clemente who's had an abortion. Mm-hmm. So go fuck yourself. And again, there's not even a Planned Parenthood who wants to be in that city. It's in Mission Viejo. And also, they don't do abortions at that one. I love watching the people with their anti-abortion signs outside of my Planned Parenthood that I currently still go to get my health care and IUDs and my blood tests and my cancer screenings from, because that's what I can afford. I see people out there with anti-abortion signs. I'm like, bro, go to Santa Ana. Because if I have to get an actual abortion, they don't perform them here. I have to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so stupid. People are so ignorant and so stupid. But they don't even care to be educated on it either. They're just too busy being hateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have two more things for this motherfucker, but going so long. Let me just do them real quick. You know our friend Brett Butt-Chugging Kavanaugh?
Fuck that fuck.
Yes. The man who was appointed a lifetime position to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yep, with no terms or any ethical stipulations. Yes,
or that's the one. Any investigation at all. This has come out today where the FBI is being asked questions like, so there's these credible accusations coming up against this guy.
For, like, I'm guessing rape or some sort of sexual misconduct.
All of it. All those things are coming up. And did you investigate him? Well, no, we didn't. But we never investigate anybody. We just do whatever the current administration tells us to do, just like we did for Obama. Just like we did for whatever. So you didn't do any investigating on any of these, like, tip line calls you received. Well, no. Okay, well, just making sure, you know, he's appointed to the highest court in the land.
Making decisions about everybody's life,
yeah,
for the rest of their lives.
But the fact that it was just admittedly just a complete sham.
But there's, like, nothing that's going to come out of it.
No. I mean, there can't be. He's already on the court.
I don't understand how that's okay.
There's a Vanity Fair article that actually outlines, I mean, there's not much more than that to outline, but it, you know, gives you a little reminder of the things that he was accused of doing. And then during his what was it? What do you call that? It was the confirmation hearings that he did. This article reminds us that he referenced his love of beer over 3 times during that.
Listen, I like beer. My friends like beer. I like beer.
Exactly. We drink beer. My friends and I, boys and girls. Yes, we drank beer. I like beer. I still like beer. We drank beer. And on and on and on. Then somebody asked him, was there ever a time when you drank so much that you couldn't remember what happened or part of what happened the night before? And he didn't just say, like, no, or not since college, but then have you like came back at them with that question. And then he was weeping over a calendar entry.
I remember and
it obvious was awesome. There was a very credible accusation of sexual misconduct from Christine Blasey Ford.
Yeah,
very Dr. credible Ford. Very credible. And that was just discarded, dismissed.
No, it was brave of her to come up and fucking testify, and everybody just was like, whatever, it's fine.
Absolutely. Well, I guess I think maybe the thing that is the craziest about this current, like, questioning of the FBI into this investigation, or lack of investigation, or lack of a background investigation, right, really is the problem. We learned that the FBI had received 4,500 tips about Kavanaugh, which were referred to the White House, like complaints on a tip line. 4,500.
I wonder how many of that's, like, is there a filtration system?
Those are the ones that are filtered out.
Oh, okay. That's what I wanted to know. Yeah. It's like, listen, I'm not trying to fucking support the dude or anything, but I want to know what the credibility were.
Yeah, those are the ones that were filtered out and sent to the White House. 4,500.
That's a fucking lie.
Right? I know.
Wow, anyway, that's so fucked.
And they're like, the FBI, they were interviewing this guy from the FBI, and they're like, yeah, we didn't really feel the need to look into any of those tips. We did follow up on some, but the White House was making sure we didn't dig in too far.
From a corrupt White House with a corrupt fucking justice. Uh-huh. This is our fucking livelihood and just day-to-day fucking lives that people get to make decisions on.
Mm. Yep.
This is why it's so important to fucking vote and be educated on it. Like, I don't care whether you agree with me or disagree with me. Just don't blindly follow fucking anything. Just do your goddamn research.
Okay, I have one more. You ready? Okay. One more.
Oh, yes. But I wanted to say, it was like, well, I don't know anything about Clarence Thomas and the woman who accused him of something that got... I mean, is this going to be... Is this going to just be another Anita Hill thing? Because I don't know anything about the Anita... I know the name. People have referenced it very often, especially lately. But, like, what was that? It was a
big deal when I was in high school.
So what was it?
She was alleging sexual misconduct. He touched her inappropriately. He made comments inappropriately. I mean, it was, like, inappropriate hugging. It was ass touching. It was, like, groping.
Who
it was gross.
Who appointed him?
I don't remember. Because I didn't really start paying attention until I was about a senior in high school.
Okay. Go on with your next thing. I'm going to look that up.
You might actually get a kick out of this. One of my friends, who I'm still friends with to this day, would wear a shirt into school. Him and, like, three of his friends or four of his friends had these shirts made that had, it was like a caricature of President Clinton, because he was the president at the time, and it was him with, like, his arm around some, like, big-tittied babe with, like, a joint hanging out of his mouth, and it was, like, Clinton, pot-smoking, you know, babe fucking. That's not exactly what it said, but it was, like, something high school appropriate, but basically, you know, that's our president. And I remember looking at that and being like, I don't think you're right. And then that's when I started, like, paying attention. Because I've voted in every election since I was able to vote, you know, right, and taken it seriously and done my research and, you know, whatever. But anyway, that's a little aside.
I love that. See, I was 17 when George W. Bush got elected. I would have voted for him. One, slightly because mom was Republican or whatever, and I grew up in a fairly Republican house. I didn't agree with her, like, anti-gay shit at all. Like, she kept putting the yes on 8 signs, and I would throw that shit every day I get home from school. I'd throw that shit in the trash.
Her hatred of immigrants.
Yeah, she's just kind of shitty. But, like,
sorry,
I was
channeling Will Ferrell in the
Men in Blue Jeans. And as stupid as this is, I would have voted for him because his dad was president. Like, has that even happened? Yes, it has actually happened before. That was nothing fucking new, but social studies was not my jam in high school. But I'm so glad I wasn't able to vote, so I can at least say I didn't, because by the time he was getting reelected, I was absolutely over 18, and I voted against that motherfucker a lot. I mean, just once, but a lot. It was George Herbert Bush who appointed fuckface Clarence Thomas, Justice fuckface Clarence Thomas.
I feel like I need to go back just a couple steps and clarify. When I was singing the Neil Diamond hatred of immigrants forever in blue jeans, it's not Neil Diamond. It's Will Ferrell portraying Neil Diamond as, like, a masochistic serial killer.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live skit. So just in case you didn't get that.
It's fucking funny. It's very, a very funny. Good skit. I think it's I actually think it's actually hard to find. I think SNL might have pulled it, but it is so good.
It's on the boats and on the planes. I wrote this song about my hatred of immigrants.
Then Forever in Blue Jeans is, I wrote this song after I killed a homeless man to get an erection.
I killed a drifter to get an
erection. That's right.
I can see why they'd pull that skit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little insensitive.
Okay, I have one more. We're at an hour already almost, but I didn't know this until you just brought it up to me right before we started recording, but apparently Skynet's about to be real.
Oh, yeah, so Amazon has decided to buy out iRobot, creator of the Zumba. Fill in the blank. Yeah, the vacuum that goes around Roomba. Your house. Roomba, thank you. I was like, Zumba doesn't sound right. I've been drinking, I'm sorry. But yeah, so the Twitter was talking about it, and there's a whole thread on why it's concerning, because as Amazon likes to do, they like to buy out companies who do very well, find out why they do very well, steal it, then make it their own.
It's called data mining.
Right, okay, mm-hmm. Yep. And then, so it's like, okay, robots, great, awesome, mm-hmm. Let's see how that works. Of course, there were jokes like, so they're going to find out how much my cat weighs? Is that that's going to be the thing? So I should have maybe did a little bit more research on it, but I was like, I don't know what they can get from it, because it really is just a robot that bumps into things and vacuums. But, you know, I bet you they have some technology they haven't released, and that's why they're fucking buying them for something like $4 billion.
Did you hear? Oh, it's funny. That's what they bought that grocery store for. Did you hear that? So that grocery store that they bought, they're about to do this thing where you hold your palm over the register to pay. It's like biometric screening.
Oh, fuck no.
Right? Yeah. You hold your... And right now you can still do something like that. Like, I have an Amazon account, so if I want to go in there and scan my QR code,
right,
I can do that and pay for my groceries. But yeah, they're doing this new thing that it's already started in some stores, but apparently it's like getting rolled out everywhere where you just hold your hand up.
Is it like... No. Is there a chip inside your hand?
No. It just reads your palm, your fingerprints.
Nope.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, so listen.
So that's where my mind went. I was like, okay, so they're going to fire all the people who work at the stores. They're going to replace them with robots, which they already kind of have in Seattle.
Right.
Where you just walk in, pick up what you want, and walk out.
When do you ever go to the self-checkout? I know I fucking never do. I don't want to fucking deal with that. Plus, half the time I've got alcohol in my cart, so they're going to ask for my ID anyways. So I just know to not even bother. But I'll tell you this. When I was working at Panda Panda, before they all became Panda Expresses, people, you know, you'd always be like debit or credit or cash or whatever, and people are like, I don't use debit cards or credit cards. You know, the government's trying to get rid of cash, and I won't have it. And it's just like, I always thought they were a little crazy, but are they? Are they crazy? They are trying to get rid of cash.
Oh, of course they're trying to get rid of cash.
But like, they still haven't done it, and this is 20 years later. So it's just like.
But think about how many people used cash versus 20 years ago. When was the last time I ever had cash whenever we went out to do something?
You put on the credit card, I give you my cash.
Yeah. For how many years? A lot.
Right. Cash is prevalent in low service working jobs, which is serving tables, hairstylists. No, I'm highbrow.
Anyway, I wanted to go back to the point being Skynet. It's going to start out with something very simple, like you're going to buy groceries in a people-less robot store, scanning your palm for payment.
And then nuclear war.
Yep, then the Terminators take over and you're swinging on a swing set. Because
the robots are going to find a way to wipe us out. Listen, I just had a memory pop up on my Facebook of, this is the height of COVID. There are no vaccines. It has not mutated yet, so it hasn't become weaker. And there's this... It's a text message screen grab, and it's a nail tech lady. She works in a salon, right? And it pretty much says, hey, I'm like, it shows their beginning things, like, hey, I'll be in on Saturday. Okay, great. Can't wait to see you. And then the next one is, hey, I think I'm so sorry. I should have said something, or I shouldn't have come into my appointment today. I tested 2 days ago positive for COVID, and I just really needed to get my nails done. You saw how bad they were. And she's like, I told you, I asked you 2 days in advance if you had been exposed or had any flu-like symptoms. I'm immune compromised. Like, I can't be around this, and it's actually illegal for me to have served you. Yeah, I know, but you saw, I needed the self-care. I needed it so badly. And it's like, this is why we deserve to be wiped off this fucking planet. Mm-hmm. Because maybe you and I would never do that, but there are so many people out there that would, because they're so fucking self-serving and only care about themselves that they know their nail tech, whom they love, I say in parentheses.
Quotes.
Yeah, in quotes. Thank you. More accurate. well, they love in quotes that they're like, oh, I just really needed to take care of me. I know that you're immune compromised, so you could potentially die from this. I know I shouldn't have come in, but I just really needed to. I quarantined for 2 days. Wasn't that enough? Like, no, go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's why people just suck.
So, yeah. While we're thinking about swinging on a swing set during nuclear... I was about to say nuclear. I'm thinking of George Bush.
Listen, I said nuclear forever.
No, it is nuclear. George nuclear? Bush used to say it wrong, and he would say nuclear. Anyways, that didn't go how I planned it at all. Let's start again. Nuclear annihilation, and we'll be right back.
Having problems keeping family home evening exciting and fun? Well, never fear. Tree of Life Games is here to keep your family entertained with our new board game. Hint! Similar to a game that's been around since 1948, but tailored to the good people like us, Hint is a game of murder, mystery, and deceit. The goal? Figure out who killed Joseph Smith with what weapon in what room. Was it Brigham Young with a pair of garments in the library? Was it Mitt Romney with a Book of Mormon in the conservatory? Or was it Marie Osmond with a jello mold in the food storage cellar? Your family will have the time of their lives as they try to solve the mystery of Hint. That's Hint from Tree of Life Games.
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners get 10% off your first purchase. Just use the promo code BRIMLEY at checkout. It's the right thing to do and a tasty way to do it.
Hi. I wanted to do like a Sarah Connor holding the fence going, ah! But I like, how do you say that verbally? Mm. I guess I just did. But it's like, ah, nuclear and fucking blast.
Then it's her skeleton. Yeah. And we're all dead. Anyway, welcome back to the show.
I'm so glad you made it back.
We decided last week that we today, for this 111th episode.
111, that's the sign of angels.
Make a wish, thoughts and prayers. We thought maybe we would tell you.
And I pray for my abortion rights to be restored.
Better.
Federally.
We thought we'd maybe tell you in a better and more cohesive and really more appropriate manner some of our earlier stories from when we started the podcast. It's not like we're giving up and running out of stories and starting all over again. But I thought maybe since, you know, in the spirit of my having spent a lot of money on a new tattoo machine and seeing if I'm any good at maybe being a tattooer, I thought maybe I would retell the story of the time I got my first tattoo and what got me interested in the phenomenon and industry in general.
I love it. Go on.
So, picture it.
1993.
Actually, I don't remember what year it was because I've long ago ditched my spreadsheet, which outlines
fair.
It. It was before 1993 because I moved to Bellingham in 1993.
That can't be possible.
I graduated high school in 1993.
I was 10 years old in 1993.
I know. It's crazy, right?
Are you 8 years older than me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. I graduated in 93 and moved to Bellingham. Graduated early.
So 1990.
Yeah, 89, 90. So I was hanging out with my ruffian, I was going to say punk rock, but we were all kind of more like, we called each other like heshers or butt rockers, very Beavis and Butthead.
Heshers, right.
You remember? Mullets,
yeah,
leather jackets.
Yeah, cute.
No,
acid
it wasn't
wash
cute.
A lot of Metallica,
Iron Maiden. Anyways, you're getting the picture I'm putting down, right?
100%. But
the thing you have to do is take that imagery and put it in the middle of Cache Valley, Utah, which is a very nice, clean, Mormon town where everyone goes to church. And if you wear a leather jacket and have a mullet, the police are watching you.
100%.
And you're kind of a dumbass and you don't realize, because you're 15 years old, how much they're watching you. Anyway.
We'll save that for another story.
So, I wonder if I've ever told that one. Well, yeah, we'll get back to that. Selling acid, I'm sure I must have told it.
How many times?
So, Mandy is 15 years old, and she decides she needs to get a tattoo. Because, so the group of friends that I hung out with, we were all basically the same age. There might have been a couple years older, a couple years younger. We were basically like the same age. And there was this guy who was much older than all of us. I don't know how old he was. I never asked, but I mean, I imagined he was in his, like, late 40s. So at 15, I don't know what that meant. Because usually, you know, you're like,
right.
You're ancient and you're really, like,
you 28. Be 23, yeah. Like, oh, you're the oldest man ever.
50 years old. So I imagined him in my head. Still, to this day, I can picture him to be a much older man. But he lived in a basement of this house that was pretty close to the high school that we all went to. And I don't know who knew him, which one of my friends knew him, but somebody knew him. And he had made a tattoo machine. And back in those days, we called it a tattoo gun. Right. I think everybody did. Because, you know, we just didn't know any fucking thing at all. We're living in Utah and we don't know shit. So he had made a tattoo machine. And it was a... From what I know about machines now, it was a fairly legit machine. Like, he'd made this coil machine himself. And so...
Sounds sketchy as fuck.
Totally sketchy. I don't know where the ink came from. I'm sure he probably made the ink. There was no gloves involved. There was no, like, sanitation involved. Like, I can picture all the things I'm going through now and all the things I'm learning. I mean, I've been tattooed.
Mandy literally did a fake latex piece of skin with gloves on and all the safety precautions, even though there's no blood to speak of.
Well, because you're supposed to learn.
No, gloves. I know that. I'm just saying so that this motherfucker didn't even have fucking gloves on. Jesus Christ.
Well, it was the early 90s.
AIDS was still very prevalent.
That's true. That's actually very true. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Anyway, so needless to say, I decided I wanted to get a tattoo from this guy. I don't know where the ink came from. No safety precautions. He made his own machine in a basement near the high school.
His own ink out of blood.
Cigarette ash right, and water, like right. Prison ink. And one of my friends, actually who I've spoken about before on the podcast, Rob, mm-hmm. He was a little older than me and he, you know, he was like kind of my big brother and my mentor into the world of being a bad person, bad Mormon, not a bad person, a bad Mormon.
Right.
And so he had gotten this little like tattoo from this guy and it was pretty good, like a little Jiminy Cricket, you know, cartoony tattoo. And it wasn't bad. And at this time we were doing a lot of LSD, which you've heard us speak of on the show.
I don't do drugs. What are you talking about?
And I decided that I wanted to get a tattoo on my chest of, it was supposed to look like my skin was folded back and then you were looking at a perspective view of four checkered walls that were like going into my soul, which was like infinite. It was
very like Alice in Wonderland, but not really that good.
Well, the concept of the design was like trippy infinity, like, oh, you can see into my soul, which never ends because I'm infinite and I'm part of this acid universe kind of thing. That was the concept. Technically, as a tattoo goes, like as drawing a tattoo, that's a real hard thing to draw, much less tattoo.
Right.
You know, and I see that now, obviously.
So you're telling me he did a good job?
No. No. Not only did he not do a good job, but he did it the payment I gave him was the camel cash, the little dollars that you take off of the packs of cigarettes.
No, I know them.
I saved those up. I was going to get a jacket or something with them. I saved them. I had 70 of them that I had saved. I was like halfway to a Camel Joe jacket or something like that. And so he said he would do it for 70 camel dollars because that's all I had. And I was like, oh, man, I really want that Joe Camel jacket. But I really want this tattoo. Go ahead. Yes, there's a question.
I have a question. My hand is raised. I'm just saying, you're a much better person than this, but wouldn't you just kill to have some skin to work on? So he'd be happy to take your fucking $70 in camel cash so he could practice probably at least with his homemade shitty tattoo gun.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's what I'm thinking now, certainly.
Right.
But it gets worse. Not only that, he offered to do it for free. He said, listen, I'll let you keep your camel cash. You can get your jacket. You can save up for your pool table felt or, I don't know, whatever the things you could buy.
Just got to put a finger in your butt.
Duffel bag. No, I had to do it topless.
That's how it'd be for free?
If I would agree to do it.
What a fucking creep.
If I would agree to do it topless, he would do it and I would keep my camel dollars. I'm 15 years old. You're
gonna throw up.
I know. It's so fucking gross, right? Can you believe it?
So goddamn fucked.
So anyway, he does the tattoo.
I think he should probably be investigated.
I don't even know his name. I can probably, every once in a while when we're driving down Main Street, I see the house when we drive out of town, and it reminds me of the time I got the tattoo there. I don't know.
Utah.
It was nothing about it was good. But I ended up getting the tattoo, and I remember we had slathered it thick with Neosporin when it's done.
Which you're not supposed to do.
No. You're supposed to let it breathe and heal. Just keep a light layer of something to keep it moist.
But still, they always say no Neosporin because you're not trying to heal it entirely. It needs to set, right?
Exactly. So we slathered it with Neosporin, covered it.
Saved you.
Covered it with a sterile gauze bandage and tape, like white medical tape. Jesus. You know? So trashy. I just keep going back to the no gloves, no sterilization of any kind.
Lots of semen.
I'm sure the needles, so that when you use a coil machine too, the needles are really long and they're attached to the bar. So it's like you have the coils and the you plug it in and the it turns into electromagnetic. So that's what keeps the armature bar going up and down. And so you have these really long needles that are attached to the bar. I bet you you're supposed to use them once. You're not supposed to reuse needles. Mm-mm. I'm sure those were reused. I probably got the same needles he used on Rob and countless other people.
Gonna throw up.
I know. It's so fucking stupid. And I'm so fucking stupid. And I'm such
an idiot.
As
only you can do at 15.
Well, okay. And so then, I get the tattoo. And I'm thinking I'm the fucking coolest person in the world. And I'm so smart. And I know more than everybody in the entire world. Especially my father.
Right.
And
what does he know about tattoos, Mormon?
I'm like, okay, I gotta keep this a secret. I gotta hide it from my dad. I can't let him know. He's gonna be so mad. You know, smiling, thinking about how I'm, like, getting away with whatever I'm getting away with. Getting away with getting HIV and a fucking permanent disfiguration.
Right.
So I go home, and Dad usually worked nights. And for some reason, I was sleeping out on the couch. And so Dad's bedroom door, we had this weird old 1900s house where it was, like, everything was in a circle. There were no hallways.
Right.
So it's, like, our living room had two doors. One went to Dad's bedroom, one went to the kitchen. The kitchen had two doors. One went back to the living room, one went to the one of the bedrooms. And it was just like a bathroom with two doors, and one door opened into either bedroom. It was,
I
want to
point out that
weird.
Technically there was how many children in one bathroom?
A fucking lot. So I wake up in the morning because Dad's coming out of his bedroom into the living room. And, you know, I look at him, and I was just so fucking excited. And after all of the, like, psyching myself up I did the night before to be like, I can't tell Dad. Dad can never find out I got this tattoo or he'll be so mad. I was like, I pulled my shirt down. It wasn't all the way down. Like, I wasn't, like, bare-chested or anything, but it was, like, kind of the top of my, like, lower chest area.
Right.
I pulled my shirt down on that side, and I was like, look what I did, Dad. I got a tattoo. 15. Don't forget. 15. Pentagram necklace.
Right.
And he just looks at me with this look, and he kind of, like, shakes his head. He wasn't mad, and he wasn't sad.
He's like, I'm tired. I just got off work. Go fuck yourself.
He wasn't angry or anything or disgusted. He was just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? That was exactly... Obviously, he can't say that because he's a Mormon. But that was exactly what the emotion that was conveyed at that time. He's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I don't know. Oh, and my hair was dyed black. Let's not forget that.
Right.
Bots dyed black. What's wrong with you?
It's cool, right?
Sure, Mandy. Sure. And then he left and we never spoke of it again.
I do want to point out, our dad is the most mild-mannered, sweetest man ever. Like, usually people want to, like, revolt against their parents because maybe they're in a bad situation or whatever. That was really not the case with our dad at all. Like, I mean, he had a little bit of a temper every now and again, but nothing that was, like, abusive or shitty, right? Nothing that you need to go talk to a therapist about later on in life.
Yeah. Turns out I was just a real shitty teenager.
Well, no, turns out a lot of us were really fucking shitty. And I think that's what teenagers do, is be really fucking shitty sometimes.
And that's why you don't have kids.
That's why I don't have any kids.
That's why I don't have any kids either.
Oh my God, cheers.
Could you imagine the karma that we would get?
Oh, good Lord. I mean, I deal with it with my cat, so there it is. Mm. Now, if you have karma that you need to repent for, you can go ahead and email us at fhebadmormons@gmail.com.
While you're at it, if you can head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review, we'd really appreciate it.
We have official merch. New fucking merch. Slut. At Team Preplic.
It's on our link tree, which is on all our social medias.
We have a YouTube. You can like, subscribe, share with your fucking friends. All right.
Also, check out our website. We have some stuff on there. You can buy a painting that I did for only $5,000.
It's at fhebadmormons.com.
And lastly, if you really want to support us, become a patron. Be part of our inner circle. It's as little as $3 a month, and it goes a long way towards helping us buy wine.
So that we can keep making this podcast for you.
And thanks for listening to our show.